This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
How are you all doing? Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana zidna 'ilma. Inshallah, today we'll begin from page number 37, which begins with Al-Istidlalu ala Isbati Asma'illahi wa Sifatihi min as-Sunnah. Al-Istidlal, seeking evidence, taking dalil. For what? Ala, for the purpose of Isbat, affirmation of. So, in order to affirm something, we are taking the evidence from where? From where? From the Sunnah, right? We're taking evidence. So, ala ithbati. Affirmation of what? Asma'illahi, the names of Allah, wa sifatihi, and His attributes. From where? From the Sunnah. So, in other words, taking evidence from the Sunnah for the affirmation of the names of Allah and His attributes. Because this is the etiquette, that whenever we are learning about something, what is the first step? Where do we look? In the Qur'an. So far in this book, what have we been looking at? The verses in the Qur'an that prove to us the various names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after referring to the Qur'an, we look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fasl. ثُمَّ فِي سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ثُمَّ then, fi in sunnati rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning, now we will look at the sunnah. Why will we look at the sunnah? Because fasunnatu, for indeed the sunnah, tufassirul Qur'an. It explains the Qur'an. It does tafsir of the Qur'an. Watubayyinuhu, and it clarifies it. Watadullu alayhi, and it proves it. وَتُعَبِّرُ عَنْهُ, and it expounds upon it. The question is, what is the sunnah? What does the word sunnah literally mean? I'm asking you. A path, okay? طريقه, a way, right? A path. So, whose way is it? The way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the way, the methodology, what does that include? It includes actions as well as words as well as approvals. Right? So sunnah refers to the qawl, the fi'l, the iqrar of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this includes matters that are mandatory. Alright? And matters that are mustahab. So when we hear the word sunnah, don't just think, oh, second in importance. No. It's not second in importance, because generally when we say, yeah, this action is a sunnah, what do we understand it as? It's not mandatory. But remember that the term sunnah includes both. Some matters are wajib and other matters are mustahab. Now remember that the sunnah is the second source for legislation, for tashri'. But when we say second source, it doesn't mean second in terms of rank. No, second in terms of number. Okay, because once the authenticity of the sunnah is established, then remember it has the same status as that of the Qur'an. Why? Because both the Qur'an as well as the sunnah, they are from who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that مَا أَخْبَرْتُكُمْ أَنَّهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ الَّذِي لَا شَكَّ فِيهِ. That whenever I'm telling you about something that is from Allah, then there is no doubt in it. There is no doubt about it. So, when we're talking about sunnah, don't think it is second in importance. When we're taking any evidence from the Qur'an, then all we need to look at is its relevance to the context that we are discussing, the matter that we are talking about. But when it comes to sunnah, then we have to take two steps. First of all, establish the authenticity. And secondly, check its relevance also. And remember that in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Allah has revealed upon you the kitab and the hikmah. So Allah revealed two things. The kitab, meaning the Qur'an, and the hikmah, meaning the sunnah that was given to who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was taught. Alright, so his ways They are an example for us. Okay? So this is why Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he is referring to the Sunnah now. And he says that فَالسُنَّةُ for the Sunnah to tufassir al-Qur'an. It does tafsir of the Qur'an. What is tafsir? Explanation. Right? So the Sunnah explains the meaning of the Qur'an. Which meaning? The meaning that was intended by the Qur'an. Because some people, they just look at the Arabic verse. Okay? And they interpret it. They say, oh, in the Arabic language, this is what it means. But it could also mean something else. And it could also mean something else. So how do you know what is the intended meaning of the Qur'an? Where do you get that from? From the Sunnah. So for example, the ayah, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُ الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً. In terms of, you know, Arabic language itself, if you look at the ayah, it just means additional, more reward. A person could say, yeah, this ayah means the reward will never end. But the sunnah explains to us what ziyadah means over there. What does it mean? How did the Prophet ﷺ explain it? Nazar, looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tufassiru, meaning it explains the intended meaning by the Qur'an. Secondly, he says, وَتُبَيِّنُهُ. It does its tabiyin, meaning the sunnah clarifies the Qur'an. Many things that are mentioned in the Qur'an, in fact, almost every ruling that is mentioned in the Qur'an, it is not mentioned with all of its detail. Or is it? No. We learn about the hukum of zakat, the hukum of salah, right? The hukum of hajj. And we do find rulings here and there, for example, about salah, when to pray, right? About zakat, who it is supposed to be given to, what's the punishment of not giving the zakat, right? Likewise, fasting also, we learn about the rulings. But are all the rulings mentioned in detail? No. The rulings that are given in the Qur'an, they are given in a very comprehensive way, in a very brief style. And where is it that you get the details? From the sunnah. So the sunnah gives the details, okay, of the specifics. The Qur'an mentions in general terms, and the sunnah does its tabiyin. So for example, in the Qur'an, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Where is the method? In the sunnah. Okay? So this is why Allah says in the Qur'an, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. The Qur'an has been revealed to you so that you clarify to the people what has been sent to them. Okay? Then, وَتَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ. تَدُلُّ. تَدُلُّ is from the word دَلِيل. What is دَلِيل? Evidence. Now, when an evidence is given for something, what happens? Is it further strengthened? Yes. So, تَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ, the sunnah demonstrates the Qur'an, meaning the sunnah further strengthens what is mentioned in the Qur'an. How does it further strengthen it? By elaborating it, by clarifying it, by emphasizing it. So, for example, in the Qur'an, there are numerous verses that talk about alcohol, how it is disliked. Okay, a person might argue the word haram has not been used in the Qur'an. Whereas when you look at the verses, the prohibition is evident, right? But when you refer to the sunnah, then what? Is there any doubt left? No. Every doubt is removed. That alcohol is certainly prohibited. So the sunnah is an explanation and further clarification of the Qur'an. وَتُعَبِّرُ عَنْهُ. تُعَبِّرُ عَنْهُ, meaning the sunnah elaborates the Qur'an. How? That it relates meanings and rulings that are not in the Qur'an. The sunnah gives us more. Okay, meaning from sunnah we learn some details about the deen which are not mentioned in the Qur'an. Okay, so for example, many specific details. For instance, with regards to inheritance. Yes, in the Qur'an it is mentioned in detail, but a lot of specifics, where do we learn those from? From the sunnah. Right? And in the Qur'an, what do we learn? It is obligatory to follow the Prophet ﷺ. Isn't it? The importance of following him, obeying him, taking whatever he has given is clear in the Qur'an. So when we are told to follow the Prophet ﷺ, then we learn from the sunnah more than what a person could find in the Qur'an. It doesn't mean that the Qur'an is incomplete, not at all. The Qur'an is perfect, it is complete, it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, it is also brief. And if the Qur'an was just a compilation of rules and do's and don'ts, then it would almost lose its effect, Because it happens that when something is too lengthy, then what happens? You lose interest in it. Right? So these additional details, where are they found? In the Sunnah. Right? So we see that many words that are in the Qur'an, many verses that are in the Qur'an are such that their detail can only be learned from where? From the Sunnah. So should the Sunnah be consulted when learning about any aspect of the religion? Yes. If a person does not refer to the Sunnah, then his understanding would be deficient. It would be incomplete. In fact, it can also be incorrect. And this is the reason why the Prophet ﷺ advised the people to take both the Qur'an as well as the Sunnah in order to remain rightly guided. What did he say at Hajjatul Wada'? That I'm leaving amongst you two things, right? And if you hold on to them, you will never go astray. لَن تَضِلُّ. As long as you hold on to them. And what are they? Kitab Allah wa Sunnah Nabihi. The Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Prophet. وَمَا وَصَفَ. And whatever he has described, he has attributed, الرَّسُولُ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bihi, with it, meaning any description that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given of who? Rabbahu, of his Lord, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, the Exalted, مِنَ الْأَحَادِيثِ, from the ahadith, meaning in the ahadith, which ahadith? Which are الصِّحَاح, authentic ones. And these authentic ahadith, التي, which, تَلَقَّاهَا, he received it, he took it. Who received it? أَهْلُ الْمَعْرِفَةِ, the people of knowledge, the people of understanding, the people of ma'rifa. And what is ma'rifa? The correct recognition of something. So the people of ma'rifa, they received these authentic ahadith, how? بِالْقَبُولِ, with acceptance. So all of these ahadith, in which we've learned about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shaykh al-Islam says, وَجَبَ الْإِيمَانُ بِهَا كَذَلِكَ. وَجَبَ, it is mandatory. الْإِيمَانُ, faith, بِهَا, in them, كَذَلِكَ, likewise. What does it mean by this? In the Sunnah, we learn about several attributes as well as the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these names and attributes are not necessarily found in the Qur'an. Remember the word, تُعَبِّرُ عَنْهُ? Right? So there is additional knowledge that we learn from the Sunnah. So some names and attributes are not found in the Qur'an. For example, the name Ash-Shafi. Is that mentioned in the Qur'an? No, it is not. Whereas in Sunnah we learn in the dua of Shifa that washfi anta shafi. O Allah, heal, for you indeed are ash-shafi, the one who heals. Likewise, the name of Allah, Ar-Rabb. Rabb is mentioned in the Quran, but with Al Ar-Rabb, the Lord. Is that mentioned in the Quran? No. And we learn the name Ar-Rabb from where? From the Sunnah. The Prophet said, Amma Rukur fa'azimu fihi Ar-Rabb. As for Rukur, then do ta'zeem of the Lord in it. This is why we say Subhana Rabbiyal Azeem. So, names as well as attributes we learn from the Sunnah. So he says, وَمَا وَصَفَ الرَّسُولُ بِهِ رَبَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنَ الْأَحَادِيثِ الصِّحَاحِ. And these names and attributes, where do we learn that from? Where do we find them? In ahadith which are الصِّحَاح, authentic ahadith. And these ahadith, التي تلقاها أهل المعرفة بالقبول. The people of knowledge, they have accepted these ahadith. Why have they accepted them? Why have they accepted those ahadith? Because they are authentic. And the experts in the field, basically the scholars, they found those ahadith authentic as well as relevant. Relevant to the names of Allah and His attributes, meaning that knowledge, that science. So when we learn this knowledge from these ahadith, he says, وَجَبَ الْإِيمَانُ بِهَا كَذَلِكَ. It is equally important to believe in all of them. What does that mean? That if a name and attribute is found in the Sunnah, and that Sunnah is from authentic Sunnah, then is it mandatory to believe in those names and attributes? Is it? Yes. Can a person say, oh, it's not in the Qur'an, it's just in the Sunnah? Can we have that attitude? No. If it's from the authentic Sunnah, وَجَبَ الْإِيمَانُ بِهَا كَذَلِكَ. What does it mean by كَذَلِكَ? Likewise. Like what? like it is mandatory to believe in what is mentioned in the Qur'an. Just as a person cannot refuse what is mentioned in the Qur'an, he cannot deny that. Likewise, we cannot deny what we learn from the sunnah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to believe in the messenger, to affirm his truthfulness, to accept whatever he gives us, and to obey him. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said that, let me not find one of you reclining on his couch, and when he hears something regarding me, which I have commanded or forbidden, he says, we do not know. What we found in Allah's book, we have followed. Meaning, I do not want to see any one of you disregarding my teachings, my sunnah. So we see that the Qur'an and sunnah, together they are a complete package. You understand? A complete package. This is with respect to every aspect of religion. When it comes to salah, we have to look at the Qur'an and the sunnah. When it comes to zakat, we have to look at the Qur'an and the sunnah. When it comes to the matter of ihsan, we look at the Qur'an and the sunnah. When it comes to good treatment of parents, we look at the Qur'an and sunnah. Likewise, when it comes to aqidah, when it comes to belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, we have to refer to both the Qur'an and the sunnah. We cannot ignore the sunnah. You understand? We cannot ignore the sunnah. And this is one of the main beliefs of who? Ahlu sunnah wal jama'ah. Because the other groups, what did they do? They either did takdhib of the sunnah. How? That they denied it. They rejected it. If one hadith did not suit their desires, they abandoned it. They came up with excuses. And they said things like, ahad narrations will not be accepted. Ahad narrations, meaning narrations that a hadith that have been narrated by just one individual, meaning one sahabi. So they said, oh, we're not going to accept that hadith. No, if a sahabi is narrating a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, we cannot reject it. Alright? So they resorted to takdhib. Or they did tahrif. What is tahrif? Changing the meaning. Or changing the words. So the Ahlul Sunnah, what is their attitude towards the sunnah? Take the sunnah as it is. If once its authenticity is established, accept it. Don't leave it. Don't distort it. So from the sunnah, what do we learn about the names and attributes of Allah? First of all, ثُبُوتُ النُّزُولِ الْإِلَهِيِّ إِلَى سَمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى مَا يَلِيقُ بِجَلَالِ اللَّهِ. ثُبُوتُ. ثُبُوت, what is ثُبُوت? Proof, the evidence of النُّزُول. What is nuzul? Descent. Coming down. Coming down of who? Al-ilahi. Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ila sama'i dunya, to the sky of the world. How does he descend to the sky of the world, meaning the sky that is closest to the earth, the one that is above the earth? How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend there? Ala ma yaliqu bi jalalillah. In a manner that befits the grandness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learned about this earlier also. Maji'illah, the coming of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And over here, we learn specifically about an-nuzul, the descent. Now, remember that this sifa is sifa fi'liyah, because it's an action. Coming down is an action. And whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us about the sifa, we take it. Alright? We accept it. We believe in that. Amanna wa saddaqna. We don't ask questions like, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends from the throne, then does the throne become empty? Does He come with the throne? Then if He comes to the lowest heaven, then that means there are six skies above Him? No. We don't ask such questions. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not describe to us the takif, the howness. Right? And these are matters that are beyond our understanding. So we take what is given to us, and what was not given to us, we don't delve into that. Because if we delve into that, what's the solution? What's the answer? What will we end up with? Nothing. Only confusion and more confusion. So what is better for us? Just take it. Just accept it. مثل قوله, like his statement, meaning he gives the evidence from the sunnah for this, صلى الله عليه وسلم, ينزل ربنا, our Lord descends, إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا, to the sky of the world. Meaning, to the sky which is nearest to the earth. The lowest sky. So our Lord descends to that sky when? Kulla laylatin, every night. What does it mean by every night? Every night of the year. Every night of the year, he descends. At what time in particular? Hina, at the time when? Yabqa, it remains. What remains? Thuluthil layl, a third of the night. Which third of the night remains? Al-akhir, the last. So when the last third of the night remains, that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest sky. What does it mean by last third of the night? What is the night? When does the night begin and when does it end? It begins with Maghrib, with sunset, right? And it ends with what? There is a difference of opinion. Some scholars say with Fajr and others say with sunrise. Okay, because there is a time between Fajr and sunrise, right? That's the time when you are supposed to pray Salatul Fajr. So anyway, the last third of it would be what? That if you divide these many hours into three sections, okay, the last third would be the Thuluth al-Layl, that is Al-Akhir. فَيَقُولُ, then he says, مَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ, who is it that calls upon me so that I may answer him? مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأُعْطِيَهُ, who is it that asks me so that I can give him? مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ, who seeks forgiveness from me so that I may forgive him? مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. And this hadith is reported by both Bukhari as well as Muslim. So its authenticity, is it established? Yes. And this hadith, it is not just authentic, it is actually also mutawatir. What does mutawatir mean? A hadith that has been narrated just a few times? Many, many times. Many chains of narration. And yes, the wordings are slightly different in many of the narrations, but essentially they're talking about the same matter. There's this verse of poetry that they've made about mutawatir ahadith, the ahadith that have been frequently narrated. That mimma tawatara hadithu man kadhab wa man bana lillahi baytan wahtasab wa ru'yatun shafa'atun wal hawdu wa mashu khuffayn wa hadhi ba'du. That of the mutawatir ahadith are these ones. So this is also a mutawatir hadith, that yanzilu rabbuna ila samai ad-dunya kulla laylatin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest sky every night. How does he descend? We don't know. Does he descend himself or does someone else come in his place? He descends, because yanzilu rabbuna, the words are clear. Our Lord descends, meaning himself in reality. And then later on in the hadith we learn, he says, may yad'uni, who is it that calls upon me? Meaning yad'uni, meaning who is it that makes dua to me? Like for example, making dua is ya Rabb, ya Allah, Allahumma, Rabbana, Rabbi. So any dua that is made in this way, this is what? Calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي, who does su'al to me? Meaning, who asks me? Is there anyone who wants something and they can ask? Like for example, a person asks. For what? What do you ask for? Forgiveness, okay. Think about the ahadith that use the word أَسْأَلُكَ. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ عِلْمًا نَافِعًا. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. اللهم إني أسألك حبك, right? وأسألك لذة النظر إلى وجهك. So Allah says, من يسألني, is there anyone who would like to do سؤال so that فأعطيه, so that I can give him? من يستغفرني, who seeks forgiveness? Like for example, a person saying, اللهم اغفر لي. أستغفرك اللهم. Oh Allah, I seek forgiveness from you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself comes and he is calling us. How merciful is he? He wants to give to his servants. Which is why he keeps asking, is there anyone who would like to make dua, who would like to ask, who would like to beg forgiveness? I'm here. But what are we doing? Generally we prefer to sleep at that time. So when Allah comes down to the sky above you, then what should we do? Get up and ask him? get up and ask him. And if we don't have the strength to get out of bed, then at least at that time, don't just stare in the dark. Make dua. Do su'al. Do istighfar. Remember these words. مَنْ يَدْعُونِي make dua. مَنْ يَسْأَلُونِي do su'al. مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونِي do istighfar. At least laying in bed, if not by getting up and praying and then asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He is paying attention to you at that time. Really, He is giving us attention at that time. So we need to get up and ask Him for what we want. Seek what we want. Now remember that nuzul over here means that He actually comes Himself. And there is no need to interpret nuzul over here as His amr. Okay, that His command comes. Or His rahmah, His mercy comes. Or that His angel comes. And if we say such things, then all of this would be tahrif. Changing the meaning. Why? Because if we say that it's Allah's command, then His command descends when? His command descends when? When does His command descend? Just in the last third of the night? Then when else? All of the time. Because يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ The tadbir is constantly happening, it's constantly going on, His command is always descending. Correct? Likewise, when it comes to His mercy, what about that? Does it descend only in one part of the night? No, all of the time. Because وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ Any blessing that you have, who is it from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you get blessings when? Just in the last third of the night? No, during the day, during the night, in the morning, in the evening. Likewise, angels, I mean, they also descend all the time. And it cannot be imagined that this would be an angel descending. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَن يَدْعُونِي Can it ever be imagined that an angel would say, is there any person who would like to ask me so that I can give him? No way. No way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself descends and He asks His servants. So the servants need to take benefit of this great opportunity and respond to Allah and have their needs fulfilled. In a hadith we learn that, which is in Musnad Ahmad, that when the last third of the night remains, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest sky, ثُمَّ تُفْتَحُ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ Then the doors of the sky are opened. ثُمَّ يَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ Then Allah extends out His hand. فَيَقُولُ And He says, هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ يُعْطَى Is there any questioner who can be given? يُعْطَى سُؤْلَهُ And He keeps asking until the morning enters. So basically, the last third of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is continuously asking us, anyone want something? Anyone need something? Anyone want forgiveness? Come take it. Come have it. Come get it. And He continues to do that until حَتَّى يَطْلُعَ الْفَجْرُ In other ahadith, we learn that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down in this last third of the night, He says, أَنَا الْمَلِكُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ I am the king. I am the king. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ Who is it that will call upon me so that I will respond to him? Just think about it. If someone comes in front of you and he says, I've got a lot of money. You want anything? I'm a millionaire. Do you want anything? I'm a billionaire. Do you need anything? Would we hesitate in asking? Would we ever hesitate? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا الْمَلِكُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ I am the king. Don't go to the people and seek their crumbs. Go to Allah, al-Malik, the king, the true owner, the true giver. This is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls people to repentance, to seeking forgiveness. In another hadith we learn, فَيَقُولُ هَلْ مِن مُسْتَغْفِرٍ هَلْ مِن تَائِبٍ هَلْ مِن سَائِلٍ هَلْ مِن دَاعٍ Is there any mustaghfir, one seeking forgiveness? Is there any ta'ib, someone doing tawbah? Is there any sa'il, someone with a question, with a request? Is there any da'in, any person with a dua? In another hadith we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا سَائِلٌ يعطى ألا داع يجاب ألا سقيم يستشفي فيشفى ألا مذنب يستغفر فيغفر له. Is there no سائل, someone who wants something? Is there no داعٍ, someone who's making dua? Is there no سقيم, sick person who is seeking cure? Where are the sick? Why are they not getting up in the night to ask Allah for healing, for cure? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks at that time, is there anyone seeking healing, seeking cure, seeking treatment? أَلَا سَائِلٌ يُعْطَى أَلَا دَاعٍ يُجَابُ أَلَا سَقِيمٌ يَسْتَشْفِي فَيُشْفَى. You know, when we're sick, who do we turn to? First of all, our family members. You know, literally, people say to each other, make me feel better. Do something, make me feel better. Take this headache away from me. Take this cold away from me. You know, give me this, give me that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called us in the last third of the night. Is there any sick person who wants to be healed? Come ask me. فَيُشْفَى, and that person will be healed. أَلَا مُذْنِبٌ يَسْتَغْفِرُ فَيُغْفَرُ لَهُ. Is there no sinner? Is there no someone who has committed a sin, who wants forgiveness? Come and ask me, and I will forgive you. In another hadith, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَسْتَرْزِقُنِي فَأَرْزُقَهُ. Who is it that wants some rizq so that I can give him some rizq? Do we want more rizq? Yeah. Ilm is rizq. Mal is rizq. Health is rizq, right? So whenever we want rizq, what's the best time to seek it? At this time, last third of the night. Go to the giver of rizq, because he is asking, is there anyone who wants rizq? فَأَرْزُقَهُ. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَسْتَكْشِفُ الضُّرَّ فَأَكْشِفَهُ عَنْهُ. Is there anyone who wants dhurr to be removed from them? You have problems? You have difficulties? You have things that cause you stress in life? Do you want them to be taken away? Would you like to get rid of this dhurr which is in your life, burdening you? Allah asks you, in the last third of the night, come to me, I will remove the dhurr from you. In another hadith, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also asks us, ثُمَّ يَقُولُ مَنْ يُقْرِضُ غَيْرَ عَدِيمٍ وَلَا ظَلُومٍ. Who will lend to the one who is neither adim nor zalum? Adim meaning, so basically he's needy of your charity. And zalum, tyrant, meaning who would take and not return. So there is an invitation to give sadaqah at this time also. To give charity at this time also. This is the time when one should perform good deeds. Turn to Allah and seek His help. Seek cure from Him. Seek rizq from Him. Seek relief from Him. Remember Yusuf alayhi salam's father? When the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam said that seek forgiveness for us, what did he say? I will seek forgiveness for you. Why did he say that? Because he intended to seek forgiveness for them at what time? At this time. وَبِالْ أَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. So this is the time of having our records cleaned up. Our sins forgiven. And there are times of the year when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He descends to the sky, meaning to the lowest sky, and He's even more closer to His servants, and that is the day of Arafah, as from hadith we learn. But from other hadith we learn that kulla layla, every night. So this is not just limited to the month of Ramadan, or to the month of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Arafah, but throughout the year, every night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us. So make it a habit that if you are able to get up at that time, then what should you do? Make use of that opportunity. And if you lack the strength, then at least laying in bed, make dua. Don't pass on those precious moments, you know, just staring in the darkness.
I always tell new mothers or mothers who have a baby, or even little children, you normally tend to get up at that time, to either take them to the bathroom or to feed them or nurse them. take that opportunity to make dua, ask for forgiveness, and even make dua for those child or the children that you have, or even for your family. After we studied, alhamdulillah, I've tried to do that and tried to implement that and teach others too, because sometimes we think, oh, like the baby got up, now you have to get up. But think of the opportunity Allah is giving you to make dua to Him, to remember Him at that time.
Yes. I mean, generally, if our sleep is disturbed, we're woken up in the middle, we get very annoyed. Whether it is by somebody else's alarm, or our child screaming, you know, for no apparent reason, or, you know, some noise outside, we get very upset. But think about it. You were woken up at that time, and this is an amazing opportunity when you can make dua to Allah and have those duas accepted. You can seek forgiveness from Allah and earn forgiveness, inshaAllah. You can ask Allah to cure you. Allah is offering to cure you. Allah is offering to take away your problems. But we sleep away. We just sleep on. And it's just about adjusting, you know, our habits. Just slightly. Sleep a little early. And these days, alhamdulillah, you can definitely sleep early. Number two, إِثْبَاتُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْرَحُ وَيَضْحَكُ. إِثْبَاتُ, evidence of that أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْرَحُ وَيَضْحَكُ. That indeed Allah becomes pleased. يَفْرَحُ, فَرْح is happiness. وَيَضْحَكُ, and He also laughs. What does it tell us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? His mercy, His kindness, His gentleness. The fact that He becomes happy, the fact that He laughs. I mean, this dispels any unnecessary fear that a person could have. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great. And yes, when you think about His might and His greatness, that makes you afraid. But at the same time, when you know that He becomes happy, He laughs, then, you know, that fear, yes, it's there, that awe is there, but at the same time, there is hope. Think about it. If someone does not laugh ever, they don't even smile, they're always serious, how do you feel around them? You don't want to be around them. Because you are unnecessarily uncomfortable, right? You're feeling awkward, you feel tense. So you just want to run away from there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while He is mighty and great, He also becomes happy and He laughs. وَقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and the statement of the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, لَلَّهُ, surely Allah, أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا. أَشَدُّ, He is more فَرَحًا. He is even more delighted. أَشَدُّ is from شَدِيد, right? So أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا, He is extremely delighted. بِتَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, by the repentance of His servant. Which servant? Who is the believer. Meaning, at the repentance of His believing servant, التائب, the one who does tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely happy. Even more happy, مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ, than one of you, بِرَاحِلَتِهِ, by his rahila. What is rahila? Camel, meaning a ride of a person. And you know the hadith, that when a person is in the middle of his journey, and he has with him his ride, and on that ride is his water, his food, right? And where he goes to sleep, and when he wakes up, that camel is gone. So imagine the state of fear and despair that the person would be in. And then he gives up basically, and he goes to sleep waiting for death. He goes to sleep waiting for death. And he wakes up and he finds his camel in front of him. So how happy is that servant? How happy is that person? Extremely happy. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَاللَّهُ أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا. Allah is even more happy than one of you is happy on finding his rahila. So this hadith, what does it prove? Farah, happiness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and the statement of the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, يَضْحَكُ اللَّهُ إِلَى رَجُلَيْنِ. Allah laughs at two people. يَضْحَكُ, ضِحْك. What is that? To laugh. إِبْتِسَام is to smile. And this is what? To laugh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laughs إِلَى رَجُلَيْنِ, at two men. Which two men? يَقْتُلُ أَحَدُهُمَا, one of them kills al-akhir, the other. But kilahuma yadkhulu al-jannah, but both of them enter Jannah. How? That one person a kafir, a disbeliever, he killed a Muslim. So the Muslim man, where does he go? Jannah. He was shaheed. He goes to Jannah. But then that kafir, he embraces Islam, he does tawbah, and then he dies in the way of Allah. So he also enters Jannah. Isn't that amazing? Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds that amazing. And he becomes so happy that he laughs. That both of those servants are entering Jannah. Muttafaqun alayh. This hadith is also reported by both Bukhari and Muslim. There are numerous ahadith that tell us about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy and he smiles and he laughs. In a hadith we learned, which is in As-Silsilat al-Sahiha, that the first sight people will have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the first time that the servants will see Allah, they will see Him laughing. They will see Him laughing. In hadith we learn, which is in As-Silsilat al-Sahiha, يَتَجَلَّى لَنَا رَبُّنَا عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ضَاحِكًا. Allah will reveal Himself to us while He will be laughing. So the first, you know, sight, the first time believers will see Allah, they will find Him, they will see Him laughing. Isn't that amazing? In a hadith we learned that on the Day of Judgment, people will be told that each nation should go with its idol. I mean, each people should go with the one whom they used to worship. So all the nations, they will go with their idols, and they will go where? To hellfire. And who will remain in the mahshar? The believers, the people of Tawheed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to them. ثُمَّ يَأْتِينَا رَبُّنَا. And then He will say, مَنْ تَنْظُرُونَ. Who are you waiting for? فَيَقُولُونَ. They will say, نَنْظُرُ رَبَّنَا. We are waiting for our Lord. We are waiting for our God. Because each group has gone with its God. We are waiting for our God. فَيَقُولُ. So He will say, أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ. I am your Lord. فَيَقُولُونَ حَتَّى نَنْظُرَ إِلَيْكَ. They will say, but we have to be able to see you. Meaning then we will know you are our Lord. فَيَتَجَلَّى لَهُمْ يَضْحَكُ. Then Allah will reveal Himself to them and He will be laughing. Allah will be laughing. This is the first sight that people will have of Allah Azza wa Jal. We learn in hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also laughs because of those who die in His way. This hadith in his Musnad Ahmad, once a man asked the Prophet ﷺ that which martyrs are the best? أَيُّ الشُّهَدَاءِ أَفْضَلْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, those who, when they are put in a row, meaning to fight the enemy, once they have joined a row, لَا يَلْفِتُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ. They don't even turn their faces away. Meaning once they're in it, they're in it. They don't look back. They don't look back. حَتَّى يُقْتَلُوا. Until they're killed. Once they're in the battle, they're in it 100%. They don't look back at all. They don't take a step back. They don't even turn their face away. Such people are the best. Meaning best martyrs. أُولَٰئِكَ يَنْطَلِقُونَ فِي الْغُرَفِ الْعُلَىٰ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَيَضْحَكُ إِلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ. And their Lord laughs because of them. Meaning He is delighted by them. He is very, very happy with them. So much so that He is laughing. Now remember that this farh, this joy and this happiness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actual real happiness and joy. We don't say that it means that He will reward them. Reward is a result of happiness. You can't say reward is happiness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy with His servants. He laughs because of them. Number three, isbatu affirmation, أَنَّ اللَّهَ, that indeed Allah يَعْجَبُ وَيَضْحَكُ. That Allah becomes amazed and He also laughs. Earlier we learned that He becomes happy and He laughs. And over here, that He becomes amazed and He laughs. وَقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, and the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, عَجِبَ رَبُّنَا, our Lord is amazed at, مِنْ قُنُوطِ عِبَادِهِ, He is amazed at the despair of His servants. وَقُرْبِ, and the closeness of غِيَرِهِ, its change. غِيَرِهِ has also been reported as خَيْرِهِ. خَيْر meaning goodness. That how close is goodness. Or وَقُرْبِ غِيَرِهِ, that how quickly, how soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change that situation that the servant is in. But the servant is despairing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is amazed at the despair of the servant. يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْكُمْ, he looks towards you. He looks at you. أَزَلِينَ قَنِطِينَ. أَزِلِينَ or أَزَلِينَ, basically, أَزَلْ أَزِلْ is someone who is in difficulty. Someone who is suffering from a problem. قَنِطِينَ. قَنِطِينَ is one who is despairing of relief. So, the state of the person is what? He is أَزِلْ. He is in difficulty. And what's the state of his heart? قَنِط. He is despairing. So when a person is in difficulty, and in his heart he's feeling despaired, يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْكُمْ, Allah is looking at you. فَيَظَلُّ يَضْحَكُ, and he begins to laugh. يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ فَرَجَكُمْ قَرِيبٌ, he knows that your relief is indeed very near. So the question is, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amazed? Why would Allah be amazed when a servant is going through this? That how can a person despair of the mercy of Allah, who is Arhamur Rahimeen? You see, the hadith is basically telling us that, you know, when a person is in difficulty, and you've been in that difficulty for a very, very long time, there comes a point when you think it's not going to be over. This is how things are always going to be. I'm just going to die like this. This is my fate. It's never going to change. My condition will never change. I should just accept it. So when a person begins to feel like this, أزل, in difficulty, قنط, in heart he's despairing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at the servant and laughing, amazed. Why? Because وَقُرْبِ غِيَرِهِ, that how near is the change? How quickly things are going to change? But look at this person, he's despairing. You know, sometimes when you're looking at someone or something from above, okay, bird's eye view, you know how things are going to change, right? Like for example, you're going on a road. You are familiar with the road. And you know where the exit is. And you know that it's only a couple of miles away. But the children who are sitting in the back, they cannot see the GPS. They don't know about how far the exit is. What do they think? We've been on this road for an hour, and they start crying and fussing. They cry as if this journey is not going to end. It's as if they have given up hope. But what happens to the parents? They start laughing. Come on, it's almost done. Just hold on a few more minutes. We're almost there. We're almost there. But the children don't understand. Why? Because of their lack of knowledge, their lack of understanding. So sometimes we also in life, because of difficulties that we're experiencing, we begin to despair. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He looks at us and He laughs. He looks at us and He laughs. يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ فَرَجَكُمْ قَرِيبٌ. In another hadith we learn, which is in As-Silsilat al-Sahihah, that the Prophet ﷺ said, ضَحِكَ رَبُّنَا عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْ قُنُوطِ عِبَادِهِ, that our Lord laughs at the despair of His servants. وَقُرْبِ غِيَرِهِ, while the change is so near. So someone over there, they asked that, أَوَيَضْحَكُ الرَّبُّ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, Allah, our Lord, He actually laughs? He was amazed. He laughs? And he was told, نَعَمْ, yes. So he said, لَن نَعْدَمَ مِنْ رَبٍ يَضْحَكُ خَيْرًا, the Lord who laughs, we will never be deprived of any good when we're dealing with Him. If He laughs, if He becomes happy, then we can only receive good from Him. You understand? Because generally, what is it that we think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That He is angry, He will punish, He is ready to throw people in hellfire, He is ready to nullify the deeds of people, he's ready to waste the good deeds of people. This is the image that we have. If you ask a child, does Allah laugh? He won't be able to say yes confidently. Why? Because the image that he has developed over time, the understanding that he has of Allah, is what? Very, very different from what the Prophet ﷺ is telling us over here. So when we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laughs, that he becomes so happy that he laughs, he's amazed, then what should we think? How should we be? Hopeful. Always, always be hopeful. When a person has committed a sin and he does tawbah, and he goes back to Allah seeking his forgiveness, does Allah become happy or does he become upset? He becomes happy. لَاللَّهُ أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا. So when dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any kind of mu'amala, a person should never ever despair. He should always be hopeful. Always be hopeful. In another hadith we learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being amazed. عَجِبَ رَبُّنَا عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْ رَجُلَيْنِ. That our Lord, He becomes amazed at two people. He becomes amazed at two people. Who? One of them, who has his family, his wife, his home, his comfortable blanket, his bed, everything. But he leaves all of that in order to stand up in prayer before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other person, who is in a battle in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and basically his friends are dispersing, his companions are dispersing, but he does not give up until he is killed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is amazed at him. And he becomes very happy with that person. Likewise, a person who shows bravery in Allah's way, Allah is amazed at him also. In a hadith which is in Abu Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عَجِبَ رَبُّنَا مِنْ رَجُلٍ غَزَى فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Our Lord is pleased, He is amazed with a man who fights in the way of Allah, and his friends, his companions, they begin to flee away. They begin to leave. Why? Because they are being defeated. So in order to save their lives, what do? They start running away. But this person, he remembers what? That it's not allowed to run away from the battlefield. He knew that it was a sin. فَعَلِمَ مَا عَلَيْهِ. He knew what would be on him if he left. He does not go away. And when he does not go away, he gets killed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his angels, انظروا إلى عبدي. Look at my servant. Look at him. He returned seeking what I have for him and fearing the punishment that I have until his blood was shed. Because when a person goes in the way of Allah, initially it seems easy. Doesn't it? And then later on, as things get difficult, and we see that people are quitting, one person, you know, he's going away, another is going away, what do we feel like doing? I should also take it easy. Why am I being so difficult with myself? But the person who remains firm, despite the difficulties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is amazed at him. He is pleased with him. Likewise, the person who, when he is alone, he gets up in order to pray, Allah is amazed and pleased with him also. In the hadith in Abu Dawood, we learn the Prophet ﷺ said, يَعْجَبُ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَاعِي. Allah is pleased with a shepherd of goats who calls to prayer at the peak of a mountain and offers a prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the servant of mine. He calls to prayer and offers it and he fears me. So I forgive him and admit him into Jannah. Because who is there to tell him, get up and pray? Stop what you're doing and pray. Is there any brother? Is there any father? Is there any teacher? No one. Why is he doing that? Out of fear of Allah. So Allah is amazed at this. Now remember that being amazed at something. Okay? Being amazed at something, this word, يَعْجَبُ. What does it mean? Amazement is basically to be astonished by something. And why would someone be astonished by something? For two reasons. One of two reasons. One is that because it was unexpected. You never expected it. You never knew that it could even happen. So when it happens, you learn about it, you are amazed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from this. Why? Because He already knows what is going to happen. Another reason for astonishment, for amazement, is that because what you see, you find it unusual. It is not normal, okay? nor is it fitting, okay, given the situation that that individual is in whom you are looking at. You understand? So for example, you're dealing with a child, 5-year-old child, whose mother just left, or rather 2-year-old child, and that child is calm and, you know, smiling and busy. So would you be amazed? Because generally you would expect a child that age to cry. But when that child is calm, he's fine, you are amazed. You see, the first reason for amazement is your own lack of knowledge. You understand? You didn't know it could have happened. When it happened, you were amazed. You were surprised. The other reason, okay, the second reason, is because of what? Because of the individual whom you're looking at, the individual whom you're observing, that they're doing something unique. They're doing something unusual. They're doing something that is so different that normally an average person in that situation would not do. An average person, when he's in battle, what would he do? Run away. An average person, when he has his home and his family and every comfort available, what would he do? He would not get up and pray. You understand? So when a servant does this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is amazed, meaning he is happy. He is amazed at our pessimism, our negativity, when he can change things so quickly and so completely. He is amazed at a servant who is constantly obedient, even in times of difficulty and in times of ease. Allah is amazed and he becomes happy. The next is إِثْبَاتُ الرِّجْلِ وَالْقَدَمِ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ. إِثْبَاتُ, affirmation of, الرِّجْل, the foot, وَالْقَدَمِ. Qadam is also foot. لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ, for Allah the Exalted. وَقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, and the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, لَا تَزَالُ جَهَنَّمُ, the hellfire will not cease. يُلْقَى فِيهَا, it is thrown into it. Meaning, the hellfire will be such that continuously people will be thrown into it. لَا تَزَالُ is what? When something continues to happen. So what is going to continue to happen? يُلْقَى فِيهَا. Group after group, a nation after a nation, will be thrown into the hellfire. And they'll be thrown in. يَوْمَ يُدَعُونَ إِلَى نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ. دَعَى, pushed in. In Surah Al-Mulk also, what do we learn? كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ. أُلْقِيَ, a fawj, a group will be thrown in. So لا تزال جهنم يلقى فيها وهي تقول, and it will say, هل من مزيد, is there any more? Meaning, I want more, add more, there's still more space, add more. حتى, until, يضع, he will place, رب العزة, the Lord of honor, فيها, in it. And فيها over here gives a meaning of عليها. What will he place on it? رجلهُ, his foot. وفي رواية, and another narration, عليها, upon it, قدمهُ, his قدم. في also gives the meaning of على. It doesn't mean in, it means upon. Like in the Quran we learn that Fir'aun, he said to the Sahara, the magicians, that I will أصلبنكم في جذوع النخلة. I will crucify you في جذوع النخلة. Obviously not inside the trunks, but where? On, upon. So over here also, حَتَّى يَضَعَ رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ فِيهَا رِجْلَهُ, means عَلَيْهَا. And another narration, عَلَيْهَا, is mentioned. And when Allah will place His foot on the hell, what will happen? فَيَنْزَوِي بَعْضُهَا إِلَى بَعْضٍ. Then some parts of hellfire would draw close to other parts, meaning Jahannam would shrink. It would contract. فَتَقُولُ, and then it will say قَطْ, قَطْ, meaning enough, enough. There's no more space now, no more people need to be thrown in. Jahannam is so vast, it is so huge, that it has the capacity to take within it all of mankind and all of jinn. That is the capacity of hellfire. Because in the Quran we learn, لَأَمْلَ أَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Jinnah and nas, jinn and men, ajma'in, all together, Imagine. So Jahannam has the capacity to take within it all of mankind and all of jinn. And on the day of judgment, when the people of hell are thrown into it, there will still be room in hellfire. So the hellfire will say, more and more. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His mercy, will not admit into the fire someone who has not committed a sin, someone who does not deserve to go in there. He could create a new creation in order to fill hellfire with, but He will not do that. Rather, He will cause the size of hellfire to decrease. He will cause it to shrink. Jannah is also very, very vast. And when the people of Jannah will enter Jannah, what will happen? There will still be space in Jannah. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create a new creation on that day. And He will admit them into Jannah, so that Jannah is not empty. But with respect to hellfire, He will not create a new creation to fill hellfire with. What will He do? He will cause hell to shrink. What does this show to us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. It is greater than His anger. It overcomes His anger. And in this hadith, clearly we learn about the rijl, the qadam, the foot of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, when we learn about these attributes, which are dhatiyah, which are about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His that, His being, then we believe in them, we affirm them, but we don't resemble them to the creation. Now we don't need to ask over here, is it one foot or more? Is it like a human foot? No. We don't even think about these things, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above any resemblance to His creation. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. In the Qur'an, there is also mention of the shin, saq. In Surah Al-Qalam, where it is mentioned, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. The day the shin will be uncovered. The shin will be uncovered. And the meaning of shin over there, saq, is saq. The saq of who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now again, we don't need to go into details of how and the taqif. No, we just accept as is. And this is further proven by another hadith, which is in Bukhari, where the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will bring forth the severest hour. And this is translated as severest hour, but it's better, more correct to keep it literal, that يَكْشِفُ رَبُّنَا عَنْ سَاقِهِ, that our Lord will يَكْشِفُ عَنْ سَاقِهِ, He will expose His saq, His shin, He will uncover it. فَيَسْجُدُ لَهُ كُلُّ مُؤْمِنٍ وَمُؤْمِنَةٍ. Every believing man and woman will prostrate. فَيَبْقَى كُلُّ مَنْ كَانَ يَسْجُدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا رِيَاءً وَسُمْعَةً. And those who used to prostrate in order to show off, they will remain, meaning they will not be able to prostrate that day. The next is, number 5, إِثْبَاتُ النِّدَاءِ, the proof, affirmation of النِّدَاءِ وَالصَّوْتِ وَالْكَلَامِ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. النِّدَاء, what does نِدَاء mean? To call out. Like for example, someone calling out to the other in a loud, audible voice. Right? حَرْف نِدَاء, what is حَرْف نِدَاء? To say, ya. So, when do you say ya? When you're calling out loudly also. Right? So, إِثْبَاتُ النِّدَاءِ وَالصَّوْتِ, صَوْت, voice, وَالْكَلَامِ, speech, لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى, for Allah the Exalted, وَقَوْلِهِ, and His statement, صلى الله عليه وسلم, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, Allah the Exalted says, meaning He will say, يَا آدَم, O Adam, on the Day of Judgment, Allah will call Adam, and He will say, يَا آدَم, فَيَقُولُ, so He will say, Adam will reply, لَبَّيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ, لَبَّيْكَ, what does لَبَّيْك mean? Here I am. Labbaik is basically kalima ijaba. What does ijaba mean? To respond. So it's a word that is used to show that you are responding, you're answering someone. Because literally the word means to follow, to obey, to comply, to carry out an order. And labbaik, the word sounds like it's a singular, dual or plural. What does it sound like? Labbaik, bay. Dual, right? It sounds like that. Like in the Quran we learn, Al-Qiya fi Jahannam. Al-Qiya. It's dual. Both of you throw. But it doesn't actually mean both of you. Some scholars say that that's what it means, both of you throw, meaning both the angels throw that person into hellfire. And others said that Alqiyah is basically Alqi, Alqi. Throw, throw. And when it's being said twice, it's been turned into a dual word. So likewise, Labbaik, what does it mean? Ijabah ba'da ijabah. Meaning, here I am, here I am. I'm responding to you, I'm responding to you. I will obey, I will obey. I will do what you're telling me, I will do what you're telling me. You know, it's like somebody calling and you say, yes, yes. Ji. So in different languages we have this, right? When someone calls you, and you very lovingly, eagerly respond, you don't say, huh? What do you say? Any word that shows that you are ready to obey, and you say it not just once, but multiple times. So labbaik, Adam will say, here I am, here I am, I will obey, I will obey. Wasa'daik. Sa'daik, is'ad ba'da is'ad. Happiness after happiness. Meaning, oh Allah, I am coming to you. So you bless me with sa'ada. You bless me with happiness. You help me. You give me tawfiq to successfully carry out what you have asked me. Labbayka wa sa'dayka fayunadi bisawtin. So Allah will call out bisawtin, with a voice. First of all, yunadi. He will do nida. How? Bisawt, with a voice. So Adam will hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling him. And Allah will say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكَ. Indeed, Allah orders you. أَن تُخْرِجَ. That you take out مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِكَ. From your offspring. بَعْثًا. A dispatchment. إِلَى النَّارِ. To the fire. Meaning, Allah will say to Adam, take out from your offspring a detachment, a group for the fire. Meaning a certain section from your children who are bound to go to the fire. And the hadith continues that Adam will ask, how much, how many? And Allah will say, from every 1,999. The ratio of people going to Jannah versus those going to hell is what? Think about it. 1 out of every 1,000. You know, in another narration we learned that it's like a white patch on a black-haired animal. Just imagine. Black-haired animal, white patch, white strand. That's the people going to Jannah. And so many, many more going to hellfire. وَقَوْلِهِ. And his statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. There is none among you. إِلَّا except, سَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ. His Lord will speak to him. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ. There is not between him. وَبَيْنَهُ. And between him, meaning between himself and between Allah. تُرْجُمَان or تَرْجُمَان. Any interpreter. Again in this hadith, what is mentioned? The kalam of Allah. That Allah will speak to His servants. Now obviously in the Quran it is mentioned that some people, Allah will not even speak to them. They are exempted. But the rest of the people, Allah will speak to them. And there will be no tarjuman in the middle. Who is tarjuman? Tarjuman is interpreter. When two people are unable to communicate directly, they're unable to communicate directly, then what happens? A third one comes in the middle and he establishes the communication. Right? So for example, if one person is deaf, they're not able to hear you. And you only know how to speak, you don't know sign language. And you want to communicate with them. If you say something, they can't hear you. They make signs, you don't know what they're saying. So what do you need in the middle? An interpreter. Right? Likewise, you speak one language, another person speaks another language. You need to communicate with them. What do you need in the middle? An interpreter. So, having an interpreter, what does that mean first and foremost? Weakness. On the part of who? Of those who are communicating. Lack of knowledge. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above that weakness. There is no interpreter in the middle. And many times it happens that when there is an interpreter in the middle, like for example, a lawyer who will translate all the legal terms to you, right? And you know, your words, they will present them in a more legally accepted way, right? In legal language. Does that also help the client or the defendant? It does. Because the defendant might want to say something like, I'm very sorry for doing this, I shouldn't have done it. And that by itself means that I am confessing, I'm guilty. You say this to your lawyer, but the lawyer will convey what you're saying in such a way that your guilt is not proven. Your innocence is still established. You understand? But imagine when there is direct communication, there is no third one in the middle. What does it mean? You can't hide your sins. You cannot hide your crimes. You cannot say anything that is ambiguous. And a believer will be drawn near such that no third will hear the conversation. And Allah will remind him of his sins. You did this, you did this, you did this. And he will confess and confess and confess. To a point that he will think, I am doomed. I'm finished. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him that I covered your sins, I concealed them, I hid them for you in the world, and today I completely forgive you for them. مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا سَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ وَلَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانٌ. There is no tarjuman, no interpreter in the middle. Now both of these ahadith, what do they tell us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech? If you notice the words, يَقُولُ, يَا, يُنَادِي, صَوْت, سَيُكَلِّمُهُ, all of these words, what do they establish? Which fact? The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses the attribute of speech. And this we learn from other ahadith also. Like for example, in a hadith which is in Abu Dawood, we learn the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا تَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ بِالْوَحْيِ. When Allah speaks the wahi, meaning the words which are to be sent as revelation. سَمِعَ أَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ. The inhabitants of the sky, meaning the angels, they hear. They hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying the words of wahi. But they don't understand those words, rather they hear noise. What kind of noise? Like the clinging of a bell. Okay? So basically of a chain or something like that. That's the sound that they hear. And they become struck with fear. And then when Jibreel comes, meaning when he receives the words of wahi, and then he comes, then those angels, their fear is gone. And then they ask Jibreel, what did your Lord say? And Jibreel says, Al-Haq, Al-Haq. So in this hadith also we learn, إِذَا تَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ بِالْوَحِي. When Allah speaks the words of wahi. So Allah's speech, is it powerful? Is it powerful? Of course. It is very, very powerful. So much so that just two huruf, kaf and noon, if Allah says kun, that thing will happen. It will occur. Isa alayhi salam, how was he born? Kalimatuhu. He was his kalima. Right? How was he created? By the kalima of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to seek refuge, to seek protection with Allah. How? Bi kalimatillah. Right? A'udhu bi kalimatillahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq. I seek refuge with the perfect words of Allah from the evil of what He has created. And the next is إِثْبَاتُ عُلُوِ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ خَلْقِهِ. The affirmation of ulu for Allah. What is ulu? To be high. عَلَىٰ خَلْقِهِ, over His creation. وَاسْتِوَائِهِ, and His istiwa عَلَىٰ عَرْشِهِ, upon His throne. Now again, we have learned most of these attributes from where? From the Qur'an. But again, they're being mentioned over here and the evidences are being taken from the Sunnah. وَقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي رُقْيَةِ الْمَرِيضِ. And his statement, صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, with respect to the ruqya of the mariid. What is ruqya? The words that you say in order to seek healing. Okay? So for example, if a person is sick, and they recite the du'as for shifa, what is that? Ruqya. If a person recites the Qur'an, what is that? Ruqya. Right? So, these words, the Prophet ﷺ, he taught for what? Ruqyat al-mariid. And what are these words? Rabbana, O our Lord. Who is Rabbana? Allah, Allah, alladhi fis sama, the one who is in the sama. Again, what does this prove to us? Rabbana Allah, alladhi fis sama. Where is Allah? High above. He has ulu. تَقَدَّسَ اسْمُكْ. Your name is تَقَدَّسَ. What does تَقَدَّسَ mean? Pure. Sanctified. Meaning your names are pure of every imperfection. أَمْرُكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Your command is in heaven and on earth. meaning your command, is carried out in both places, the sky as well as the earth. كَمَا رَحْمَتُكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Just as your mercy is in the sky, اِجْعَلْ رَحْمَتَكَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Place your mercy in the earth also. What does this mean? That, O Allah, just as your mercy is up in the sky, send down some of your mercy on this sick person also. But think about it. Isn't the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already on the earth? It is. So, why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say this? Because the sick person is in need of special mercy to remove his illness. Isn't he? He is. So this is why, كَمَا رَحْمَتُكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ اِجْعَلْ رَحْمَتَكَ فِي الْأَرْضِ اِغْفِرْ لَنَا حُوبَنَا وَخَطَايَانَا. Forgive for us our حُوب and our خَطَايَا. حُوب refers to which kind of sins? Major sins. And خَطَايَا refers to minor sins. So forgive us our sins. Why? Because with forgiveness, barriers are removed. Difficulties are taken away. Disease is also taken away. أنت رب الطيبين. You are the Lord of the good people. Who are طيبين? Believers. خاص ربوبية, right? You are Rabb of طيبين, of believers. Why did he say like that? خاص ربوبية, he's mentioning to get خاص mercy, to get special mercy. أنزل رحمة من رحمتك. Send down a mercy from your mercy. وشفاء من شفائك. And a cure from your cure. على upon هذا الوجع. Upon this وجع. Meaning upon this pain. Or وجع. Okay? Upon this pain. Or upon this one in pain. Because the one who is sick is in pain. فيبرأ. And the sick would be cured. And hadithun hasanun rawahu Abu Dawud wa ghayruh. This hadith, over here it is mentioned that it is hasan. In other narrations, it is said that it is weak. And some have also said that it is sahih. Some scholars have graded this hadith to be weak. Others have graded it to be hasan. Ibn Qudama, al-Bayhaqi, al-Darimi, al-Nasa'i, Ibn Adi, all have narrated this hadith and recorded this hadith and graded it as either hasan or sahih. So there is a dispute with respect to the authenticity of this hadith. However, the dua that is being taught over here, is it correct in its meaning? Yes. So this dua may be used for the purpose of shifa. And why was this dua brought over here? To prove رَبَّنَا اللَّهَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ. To prove the uluw for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَوْلِهِ, and his statement, أَلَا تَأْمَنُونِي. Would you not trust me? وَأَنَا أَمِينُ. While I am the one who is trusted. By who? مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. The one who is in the sky. The Prophet ﷺ said this statement. When? When he was distributing some gold amongst four people. Ali radiallahu anhu, when he went for an expedition to Yemen, from there he sent some gold to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ was distributing that gold amongst four people. So a man, he said, that, O Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have more right to this than these people. In other words, he objected at the decision of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala ta'manuni wa ana aminu man fis sama." The one who is in the sky, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he trusts me with his revelation, with his deen. And you don't trust me as a judge to decide who gets what and how much? So again, this hadith also proves what? Man fis sama, the uluw for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَالْعَرْشُ فَوْقَ الْمَاءِ. And the arsh was above the water. وَاللَّهُ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ. And Allah is above the arsh. وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ. And He knows what you are upon. Where is the arsh? Above the water. And this is also mentioned in the Quran. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And where is Allah? فوق العرش, above the throne. وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ. And He knows what you are upon. Meaning, what you are doing. He is above, yet nothing of ours is hidden from Him. Even what is in our mind, is that hidden from Him? وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. وَقَوْلُهُ لِلْجَارِيَةِ. And His statement to the jariyah. To the girl. Which girl? The slave girl. The Prophet ﷺ said to her, أَيْنَ اللَّهُ? Where is Allah? قالت, she said, في السماء, in the sky. قال, he said, من أنا, who am I? قالت, she said, أنت رسول الله, you are the messenger of Allah. قال, he said, أعتقها, free her, فإنها مؤمنة, for indeed she is a believer. Muawiyah bin Hakam, radiallahu anhu, he had to release, he had to free a slave, basically, for a kafara. Because for certain sins, you know that, or for certain mistakes, what has to be done? A kafara has to be given. And for kafara, depending on the situation, it could be different. So in his situation, what was it? He had to free a slave. But this slave has to be a Muslim. When a slave is being freed for kafara, okay, in kafara, then that slave has to be a Muslim. So he had the slave girl and he brought her to the Prophet ﷺ so that the Prophet ﷺ would test her iman. If he would say that yes, she is a believer, then he would be able to set her free. Now, in order to test her iman, what did the Prophet ﷺ ask her? Ayn Allah, where is Allah? And who am I? Two questions he asked her. And based on the answers that he was given, he said that she was a believer. Now notice, first of all, she said, Fissama, where is Allah? In the sky. Despite being a slave girl, at that time, she knew this fact. She understood this fact, that where is Allah? High, above. But yet, what is the state of the ignorance of the majority of the people today? What do they say? Where is Allah? Everywhere, in me, in you. Just imagine, that slave girl, young girl, slave, she knew where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And notice how, Ayn Allah fi sama, in the sky. Now in the sky, this is a direction. Earlier we learned, yanzilu, Allah descends. Right? And then elsewhere we learn, He is where? On the arsh. So again, many ahadith, they tell us about a direction for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He is not everywhere, every place. Right? But in a specific place, direction. Right? And this is not kufr. Because some people say that anyone who says that Allah is here, above, you know, he's limiting Allah to a particular direction, then he's committing kufr. If that was the case, then this jariya would also be a kafirah. But did the Prophet ﷺ say about her that you're committing kufr? No. What did he say about her? أَعْتِقْهَا فَإِنَّهَا مُؤْمِنَةً. She is a believer. So in all of these ahadith, what do we learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? His highness. The fact that He is elevated. He is high above His creation. The hadith of the Jari also proves that. The fact that the Prophet ﷺ said, وَالْعَرْشُ فَوْقَ الْمَاء وَاللَّهُ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشُ. Allah is upon the throne. And where is the throne? I mentioned this to you earlier. Above the entire creation. It's like a ceiling. You understand? There is no creation above it. In a narration, we learned that some of the Sahaba, they would say about ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, that they would say that the throne was upon the water, and before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not created anything. Meaning there was no creation, there was no earth, sky, people. And when He decided to create the creation, meaning this earth and the sky, He brought out from the water some smoke. And when it rose, the water dried up. And He made that into the earth. He then separated it and made that into seven earths. And when He finished creating everything, He rose above the arsh. So again, istawa ila sama, istawa ala al-arsh. The understanding of the companions was also what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above. And where is the arsh? High. And He was upon the throne even before the creation was created. Alright? And in hadith we learn that Abdullah bin Amr, he said that جَعْلَ اللَّهُ فَوْقَ السَّمَاءِ السَّابِعَةِ الْمَاءِ, that Allah has made above the seventh sky water. وَجَعْلَ فَوْقَ الْمَاءَ الْعَرْشِ, and above that water is what? The arsh. And you remember the hadith in Bukhari which says that when you ask Allah for Jannah, ask for Firdaus. Why? Because it is the highest level of Jannah. وَفَوْقَهُ عَرْشُ الرَّحْمَانِ, above that Jannah is the arsh of Ar-Rahman. وَمِنْهُ تَفَجَّرُ أَنْهَارُ الْجَنَّةِ, and from it the rivers of Jannah also gush forth. So from different narrations, what do we learn? The skies, okay, above Jannat, what is there? Ma', and above the ma', above the water is the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that the arsh of Allah is being carried by who? angels. How many? 8. Okay, 8 angels. حَمَلَتِ الْعَرْشِ. And how huge are those angels? That the distance between the earlobe and the shoulder of one of those angels is the distance of 700 years. سَبْعَ مِئَ عَام. The distance between the earlobe and the shoulder of one of those angels is how much? The distance that would be covered in 700 years. So imagine how huge those angels are, one of those angels, and how huge the arsh is. And those angels, what do? They glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most beautiful voice, the most beautiful terms. 4 angels, they say, Subhanaka wa bihamdika, ala hilmika ba'da ilmika. Glorified and perfect are you, and all praises for you, O Allah, for your tolerance after your knowledge. Meaning you know what your servants do, yet you are so tolerant towards them. And then the other 4 angels, they say, Subhanaka wa bihamdika, ala afwika ba'da qudratika. Glorified and perfect are you, O Allah, and all praises for you, for your pardon, despite your power. That how much you pardon and forgive despite the fact that you are so powerful and so able. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be above His throne on the Day of Judgment also. Right? Because we learned that some people will be under the shade of Allah, under the shade of His throne. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those people. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make dua to Allah, mentioning the throne also, to show the exaltedness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like for example, when he would be in some pain, he would say, لا إله إلا الله العظيم الحليم لا إله إلا الله رب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله رب السماوات ورب الأرض ورب العرش الكريم. Likewise he said, also أسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفيك. That when someone would be sick, this is what he would say, رب العرش العظيم. He would mention in that. In salah also, he would say words that would mention the arsh, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the highest, the most elevated. Tabarakta wa ta'alayta. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us understand this great knowledge, and may this really affect our hearts and our actions. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.